As Christians, we've been called to a spiritual battle. Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Now, there is a guerrilla war that Satan is waging against us. One of his chief tools, not his only tool, is pornography. And what we need to do is to counterattack under our commander-in-chief, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a battle between light and darkness, good and evil, heaven and hell, Satan and the Savior. I just want to call you to battle, call you to battle for your family. I want you to guard your heart and protect your home.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the profound truth of the Bible, simply stated by Adrian Rogers. Satan wages war against the family because the family is God's design for closeness and intimacy and true love. We're called to battle, to guard our hearts and protect our homes. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against principalities and powers of darkness. But if you're a Christian, you know that the battle is already won. How? Well, if you have your Bible, we'll be reading out of Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Turn there now, if you can, as Adrian Rogers shares some things to consider when preparing for the battle.
Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, if you would, chapter 5. Talking to you tonight about how to guard your heart and therefore protect your home. Now, we've talked to you about making a wise choice. We told you how Moses chose because he had discerned, and after he discerned, then he refused the things of the devil and chose the things of God. And we talked to you about how to make a wise choice. And then we talked to you next about how to have a clean thought life, a pure thought life. And God's Word is so clear about that. But I want to remind you tonight that the chief pornographer is Satan. Satan is a pervert. And actually, he is behind the whole pornographic industry. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and powers. And we're going to look in the book of Ephesians because that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was wrestling against in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus and Corinth were two twin cities. They were the cesspools of the first century. Unspeakable immorality, as we're going to see, took place in Ephesus. As a matter of fact, I have visited the ruins of Ephesus, and I've seen there in the ruins things I would not want to describe. I would be embarrassed. I was somewhat embarrassed to walk through the city with other people. It was the slime pit of the first century. And yet, God raised up a colony of heaven there, an outpost of the kingdom of God. And the Apostle Paul had some wonderful, Spirit-filled saints who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and lived in victory. So don't tell me you can't live in victory today. Friend, if it won't work now, it was no good then, and it's no good now. And if it won't work for you, it won't work for anybody. And if it won't work with your situation, it won't work with any situation. There is victory for you and for me. When we were born again, we were born to win. Now look again in Ephesians 5, and here's what Paul says. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now you say, look, walk in love. God loved you so much. The worst thing about pornography is that it wars on love. It is against love. It is the opposite of love. It is devastating to love. It is debilitating and destroying to love. Love and lust are direct opposites. A person who is into pornography has decimated his ability to love God, to love others, to love his wife, to love his children, to love one's parents. Pornography erodes love. So notice what he says here in verses 1 and 2, walk in love. And then notice in verse 3, watch. But, that is in contradistinction, but fornication and all uncleanness are covetousness. And covetousness, you say, what does that have to do in this list of things? We're not to covet another man's wife, another person's physical attractiveness, or covetousness, Let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now, if this is your lifestyle, you're either terribly backslidden or altogether lost. Then skip down to verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And notice what Paul says in verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. A shame even to talk about them. I made up my mind when I prepared this series of messages that I would not try to describe pornography to you. I made up my mind that I, in preparing this series of messages, would not look at any pornography. And I don't ever intend to. There's no need to do it. Paul says it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And I am going to do what Paul did, however, and I'm going to warn you. Now, in chapter 6, Paul is talking about the family. Because pornography wars against love, it is against the family, and the family is where it's at. The family is the only part of the Garden of Eden that we have left. I would not take anything for the ability to love and to have a family where I can love and be loved. Satan wants to war against the family. Now, I talked to you about how to have a pure mind. That's wonderful. I talked to you about how to make the right kinds of decisions. That's fine. But unless you learn something about spiritual warfare, you're still going to lose the battle in pornography. Beginning in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, there is a guerrilla war that Satan is waging against us. One of his chief tools, not his only tool, but one of his chief tools is pornography. And what we need to do is to counterattack under our commander-in-chief, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a battle between light and darkness, good and evil, heaven and hell, Satan and the Savior. And in a way, we're sort of pawns in a game of cosmic chess. And I just want to call you to battle. Call you to battle for your family. I'm willing to battle for my family, and I will. I'm willing to battle for my grandchildren. You dads, I want you to guard your heart and protect your home. Now, number one, I want you to notice what I'm going to call the Christian and his adversary. The Christian and his adversary. We must know our enemy. Our enemy is Satan. Let me give you some facts about him. Number one, he is a decided fact, F-A-C-T. Notice in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, never underestimate Satan. Never count him out. Never say that he doesn't exist, or perhaps he's just a figment of imagination or a metaphor, a figure of speech. Satan has always wanted to pull the veil of darkness over his kingdom. Now, we live in an age, a sophisticated age, that perhaps laughs at the idea of Satan and demons, but in these days, I think we've almost stopped laughing. You see, if there is no enemy, if we don't recognize that Satan is behind pornography, then we're not going to make any preparation, or when we fight, we're going to fight in the wrong arena. Now, we sing something about Jesus. He walks with me and He talks with me, and He tells me, I am His own. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. But I want to tell you, there's another song we could sing, and I thank God we don't have to sing it. He lives. Satan lives today. He wars on me, and he works on me along life's narrow way. And if you haven't met the devil, it's just because you and the devil have been going in the same direction. Satan is a decided fact. He is also a destructive force. Now, let me tell you how Satan works. First of all, he's very systematic. Look, if you will, in verse 11 again. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Underscore the word wiles. It's the word methodia. It speaks of Satan's methods. Satan has methodically gone about to seduce your children. He is very systematic. He is very clever. Satan is working very strategically. Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. He is systematic. Number two, he is spiritual. You say, oh no, Satan's not spiritual. Yes, Satan is very spiritual. Look in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against what kind of wickedness? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, don't get the idea, therefore, that our real battle is with the pornographer. It is not. Our real battle is not with Hollywood. Our real battle is not with the X-rated movies. Our real battle is against a sinister enemy whose name is Satan. And he is very, very spiritual. That is, he is invisible. And as long as you're fighting flesh and blood, you're not going to win the battle. Paul said over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Good intentions is a carnal weapon. Philosophy is a carnal weapon. Psychology is a carnal weapon. Resolution is a carnal weapon. All of these things an unsaved person can do. We're not going to win a spiritual battle with carnal weapons. Satan is a decided fact. Satan is a destructive force. And as a destructive force, he's systematic, he is spiritual. Third thing, he's very strong. Look again in verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You do not have what it takes to win this battle. Amen. You don't have what it takes. I don't care who you are. You say, well, pornography doesn't bother me. Well, then Satan will get you in another way. If you try to come against Satan, he knows where your weakness is. And I mean, if you try to live for God any other way except by depending upon the Holy Spirit of God, you're going down because Satan is greater than you are. Satan is systematic, he's spiritual, he's strong, and he's also very sinister. Look again, he speaks about spiritual wickedness. He speaks about darkness. Satan has a tyrannical control on this world. He has no mercy upon your family. He has no mercy upon the ministry. He has no mercy upon your husband, your wife, your child, your daughter. Now, I've said he's a decided fact. He's a destructive force. Listen, friend, he is, listen, a defeated foe. A defeated foe. Look in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Satan had his back crushed, back broken at Calvary, and soon his head is going to be crushed when Jesus comes again. 1 John 4:4, Jesus said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Satan hopes that you never learn that he is a defeated foe. Now, let's move to the second thing. We've talked about the Christian and his adversary. Let's talk about the Christian warrior and his armor. You need, when you go into battle, to take the whole armor and to take holy armor. Now, what is the armor that you're going to wear if you're going to overcome the devil in this matter of salacious literature, pornography? Number one, you put on the girdle of truth. Look, if you will, in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then skip on down if you will, to verse 13. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The first piece that you need to put on is the girdle or the belt of truth. And that speaks of your integrity. Your integrity. There's one thing that I want in my life, one thing I need, one thing I will not leave home without, and that is integrity. Now, if you've ever seen a motorcyclist, he wears a big leather belt, many of them, to support their back and their solar plexus because of the bumps on the road. Sometimes if you watch an Olympic weightlifter, he will wear a leather belt to protect his loins and his solar plexus. The early warriors would wear a leather belt cinched up tight, and since the men of that day would wear a tunic, they would gather the tunic up and then cinch the belt very tight, and then from that belt they would hang their weapons. Now, God says the truth is very much like that belt. If that comes loose, everything else falls apart. That belt speaks of truth, not just facts, but truth. Not just a knowledge of truth, but integrity. Truth in the inner person. Question, do you have integrity? I mean, if I could see your heart, if I could read your mind like God does, would I be disappointed? If you knew me, I mean, if you could see inside of me, if you knew the real Adrian, would you be disappointed? If I have integrity, you would not be. You would not be. If I am a man of truth, if I am a person of truth, do you have on that belt of truth? Now, the people in Ephesus were able to go to war and win the war because they had the belt of truth. But that's only one piece of the armor. Now, not only do you need integrity, but you need the breastplate of righteousness, which is the believer's purity. Look again in this scripture. He says here, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, verse 14, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. A soldier of that day would have metal plates or chains that would cover his body from the chest to the waist. And the reason for this is to protect his vital organs. Because, of course, there would be swords, there would be spears, there would be arrows. The heart, the organs, had to be protected. Now, if there's a crack in the armor, or that breastplate is not there, then, of course, the enemy has an advantage. Second question I want to ask you tonight. You want to win this war. Do you have on the breastplate of righteousness? I mean by that, not only integrity, but purity. Do you? Is there in your heart tonight any unconfessed, unrepented sin? Any? You say, good night, Adrian. You mean you just expect me to give up everything? I want to tell you, who would not give up dirt for diamonds? Who would not give up hog's wheel for nectar? I want to give you testimony. And you may think I'm bragging, may think I'm boasting. I don't have any unconfessed sin in my heart. None. You say, oh, you think you're a super Christian. No, I'm a normal Christian. Amen. That is the normal Christian life. I would be an unmitigated fool to stand up here and try and preach without the breastplate of righteousness. Now, you're not going to win the war with pornography if that's all you fight is pornography. What about honesty? What about pride? What about selfishness? You say, Pastor Rogers, you mean to tell me you don't have any problem fighting the devil? I fight him all the time. You mean to tell me you don't fail? I fail. I'm not saying I'm perfect. God knows I'm not. So does Joyce. But I am telling you, there's no reason that any man, woman, boy, or girl in this building tonight cannot be as pure, as clean as the driven snow. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why would I want to drag around sin? Why would I want to start the day in the morning with a baggage of sin when I can be clean? It's so simple. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not some, all. Thank God for that. You say, well, a little sin's not so bad. Who is it knocked so loud? A lonely little sin. Slipped through, I answered. And soon all hell was in. No, you treat sin like sin would treat you. Have no mercy on sin. Sin will have no mercy on you. Don't have a crack in the armor. You need integrity. You need purity when you go into this battle. Now, next, I want you to look at the next piece of armor that you're to have. Look, if you will, in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, a soldier in this day, not only did he have a leather belt, not only did he have a breastplate to cover his chest and vital organs, but he had boots, hobnail boots. The NFL didn't invent those. Those who run track with spikes and those who play baseball with cleats, they didn't invent those. Those go all the way back to Bible times where a soldier would have cleats, spikes on the shoes. Those shoes would be thick enough to help him on rocky soil where he might be bruised or he might slip to get his feet into the turf so he can stand and fight. What is it that gives you standing? It is the gospel of peace. Now, what is the gospel of peace? The gospel of peace is knowing there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. That I'm His, He is mine, He satisfies me. I am at peace with God.
The gospel of peace is knowing there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. There's nothing better than knowing that I am His and He is mine. Do you know that truth in your life? Are you at peace with God? If you have questions about who Jesus is, about what He means to you, what it means to follow Him and commit your heart to Him, go to our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources and materials that can answer questions you might have about your faith. Again, go to lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message on CD, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD and mention the title, Preparing for the Battle. This message is also part of a powerful series, Guard Your Heart, Protect Your Home. For the complete collection, all four insightful messages, call that number, 877-LOVE-GOD, or go online to lwf.org/radio to order. Or you can write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Well, thanks for joining us for today's study. Keep in mind, God wants us to enter the battlefield armed with integrity, purity, tranquility, certainty, and sanity. Don't leave off any piece of the armor of God in the battle. And be sure to join us next time for the conclusion of Preparing for the Battle, right here on Love Worth Finding. A listener in Texas reached out to us recently to share her love of Love Worth Finding. She wrote, "Thank you for sharing God's word. I've already sent 24 people to your program. Who knows who else I may send? I'm jumping for joy because the word is taught. No more, no less." Well, thank you for your dedication to share this broadcast, Love Worth Finding, with others. We love hearing that you've equipped yourself with these messages and resources that you now want to share with others. This month is a thank you for your generous support of the ministry. We'd love to send you the Overcomers Booklet Collection. Request the bundle when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. 1-877-568-3463. Or you can give a gift online at lwf.org/radio. And again, thanks for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.